It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to a new episode of Phillies Today. Francisco Rojas here on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Phillies 24/7, February 1st, Thursday, February 1st. And we get closer and closer and closer, 2 weeks away officially from pitchers and catchers. It will be Valentine's Day, February 14th. Definitely, can't wait. We're just getting closer and closer, especially, the way the Eagles season ended and with the Sixers, not some great stuff with Joel Embiid going down with an injury within the last 36 to 48 hours against Golden State Warriors. So I think we're all ready for the Phillies to start. I think all of Philadelphia sports fans could use our fightin' Phils to come back. So just 2 weeks away from pitchers and catchers. Can't wait. Fun show for you today. We'll update you on some off-season stuff. Top 100 prospects list. Where did a few Phillies land there? A couple of top 10 lists from MLB Network with top 10 center fielders and top 10 third basemen. Where did Alec Boehm land? Where did Brandon Marsh land on top 10 center fielders? And then we have to get to... Just here in a second, we'll get to it. Philly City Connect uniforms possibly leaked. We'll get to that. We'll talk about those jerseys and whether or not I like them, dislike them. What to expect from a player. We'll get to that, and we'll wrap up with a little bit around Major League Baseball and this day in Philly's history. So to start with, offseason update. Top 100 prospects list. There were four Phillies that made this list. Definitely one surprising one. At 27, Andrew Painter comes in on the list. Probably not going to pitch this season, but he does come in at number 27. Number 49, Mick Abel, one of the top Phillies pitching prospects. So he does make the top 50 right there at 49. 61 was kind of the surprising one, especially him placing higher than somebody else here. 61, Aiden Miller, one of the Phillies, newer young prospects in the last year or two, Aiden Miller. So you get Aiden Miller there. And then at number 77, Justin Crawford. And I was expecting Crawford to be higher. I wasn't even expecting Aiden Miller to be on this list, to be honest, yet alone 61. By the way, this is MLB.com's top 100 prospects list. If you look at ESPN's top 100 prospect list, Aiden Miller didn't even make it on there, so wasn't surprised there. But he does make it here on the top 100 prospects list. And at number 77, Justin Crawford. He got the fastest runner on the top 100 list here. With the, I think MLB.com did the best tools on the list, and Justin Crawford has the best speed out of the top 100, but he makes 77. Would expect him to be 61 and not where, like, I didn't expect Aiden Miller to be on this list and Crawford to be even lower than he is, 16 spots lower. So Crawford comes in at 77, but we get four Phillies on the top 100 prospect list. I think it's good for the Phils and for the future. Top 10 center fielders. So Brandon Marsh, we'll start with the fan list here. He comes in at number 8 on the fan list. And then on there, I guess the way they do it on MLB Now / MLB Network, they had Marsh at number 10 on the top 10 center fielders list. And I think he's good at number 10 there. I think he's good at number 10. I think this is just a reminder, and I've already done Marsh and what to expect from him in 2024. I think like Marsh is kind of like underappreciated, especially like, you know, how like good the Phillies lineup is. Like, I think this is a reminder, like Marsh makes the top 10 center fielders list. And I think he's kind of underappreciated in this lineup. Maybe I mentioned that when I did talk about him, you know, being, you know, in this lineup and what to expect from him this year. But like, guy had a 370 plus on base percentage last year. And that was second among center fielders, specifically 372, minimum 300 plate appearances. Like, second among center fielders, 370 on base. And this guy's supposed to be like your 8-hole hitter. Like, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. So I think just a reminder that like maybe Brandon Marsh is a little underappreciated here. Top 10 third baseman, Alec Bohm. He was number 10 on the fan list. And he wasn't even close to the top 10. I think they did like 5 that can be considered for the top 10 outside of the top 10. And he didn't even make that list. And that list being like, you know, MLB Now's top 10 list that they had their panel vote on. And yeah, I'm more of on that side. I think Bohm is improved, but I don't think he's improved enough to be in the top 10. If that's how the fans feel, fine. Like I think he's improved, but I don't think he's there yet. I don't think Alec Bohm is necessarily there yet to be to be even in the top 10. Like, he needs to improve more defensively. He definitely improved, but he needs to improve more. And offensively wise, he improved this year, but I still think he needs to improve a little bit more to be considered a top 10 third baseman in baseball. We're not there yet with Alec Bohm. I'm sorry. So Alec Bohm, number 10 on the fan list, and then number 10 on MLB Network's list. So there you go. So a few offseason updates there, but nothing, again, nothing crazy as we get here closer to pitchers and catcher, but we'll do a little more around Major League Baseball later on as far as offseason things go. So the Philadelphia Phillies City Connect jerseys, potentially, I just want to say that, they were potentially leaked. We don't know if they are necessarily the City Connect jerseys, but someone posted, I want to give credit where credit's due here. I want to get the guy's Twitter specifically here, because I don't want to. So it was Mo on Twitter. It's gotta go to underscore Mo's on Twitter. So shout out to him. He tweeted, "Were the Philly City Connect jerseys just leaked through eBay?" And there's a picture of a jersey that looks like, imagine the Maverick City edition jerseys. If you know what they look like, they're like blue with some, they're like dark blue at the bottom, a lighter regular blue at the top, with some dark blue sleeves. And there's a Nike, so they're definitely they have to be the City Connect, with a patch that says Philadelphia City of Brotherly Love, with a star on each side, and it says Love in the middle. It's like L on the left, and then a Liberty Bell as an O, I guess, to the right, and then under the L is a V, and then under the Liberty Bell is an E. So there you go. With the font kind of like a lightning font type of font, I guess. I don't know. Like, the jerseys, I don't want to say, like, a lot of people are like killing them. I don't like them, but I had like horrible expectations for the City Connect jerseys. And these aren't like absolutely like terrible. Like, they're not great, but they're not terrible. So like my first, I guess a couple of my takeaways here were, number one, they look like they literally look exactly like the Maverick City edition jerseys. Like, I don't even know if that's a takeaway here. That's just like a description. Again, that's a description. They look like the Maverick City edition jerseys. Like, they look exactly like that. So take that for what it's worth. Take that for what it's worth. They look exactly like, just look up Just Google Maverick City Edition jerseys. I think there might be a few, but there's one, and you can go on Twitter and, you know, look up Philly City Connect jerseys leaked, and you'll find that, and then compare them to one of the Maverick City Edition jerseys. You'll know which one I'm talking about if you Google it and you see it. So City Connect jerseys look exactly like the Mavs City Edition jerseys. Again, like, I'm not super surprised, but at the same time, I'm not like, I expected them to be absolutely hideous, and they weren't hideous. Like, a lot of the City Connect jerseys have not been good, have really not been good. So my expectations for this were super low, but again, they're not horrible. But at the same time, like, I'm thinking about it as well. Like, I'm imagining the Phillies out there on the field with these, and if they're wearing white helmets with this, pray to God they're not wearing white helmets, because it's going to look ridiculous. That's going to look like some team I had in MLB The Show that I created and had, like, custom jerseys or something. So I'm praying to God they don't have white helmets. Maybe white pants? I don't know. But white helmets, not in love with that. I think you'd go with the same type color of pants as you would go with for the jerseys. I don't know what you're going to do with the helmet there. I just don't like the white helmet idea. I don't love that. Go with, like, batting gloves or something like that. But not a white helmet. So, but if you have seen them, if you have seen them on Twitter, again, just leaked, or they're potentially them. They're not. We're not saying they are them. I don't want to get in trouble here by saying that that's what they are. But I think we all have a pretty good idea here that they probably are the City Connect jerseys. So let me know. Go on Twitter at @Rojas_media_. Let me know what you think of these jerseys. We haven't seen the rest of the uniforms yet, but the jerseys. And if they are the City Connects, let me know your thoughts on them. Like them, don't like them, where are you on them? So City Connect jerseys, what are your thoughts? Potential City Connect jerseys. What to expect from a Philadelphia Philly in 2024? You know, the last player I did was Brandon Marsh, which I just talked about a few minutes ago, as far as top 10 center fielders go. But now let's transition. I'm trying to go position player, pitcher, position player, pitcher. Let's stick with pitchers here. Not stick with, let's go to a pitcher. Matt Strom, supposed to be a reliever for the Fightins, but he did start 10 games last season when Ranger Suarez could not pitch in the first about month and a half, 2 months. So Strom filled in, I think it was like probably like 6 starts, somewhere around there, the first couple of months of the season while Ranger Suarez was dealing with an injury from the World Baseball Classic. And Strom's numbers are these. So he had 56 starts or 56 appearances last year, 10 games started, 6 games finished, and 87 innings, just over 87 innings overall. A 3.29 ERA was good for a 1.31 ERA plus, 108 strikeouts, just over an 11 strikeouts per 9, a 3.24 FIP, and a 2.2 baseball reference wins above replacement statistic. And his splits there as a starter was okay, 4.05 ERA in 10 starts, 2.82 ERA as a reliever. And the 4.05 ERA wasn't, like, phenomenal, but I think, like, he needed to fill in to be the Phillies, you know, fourth starter. And for that amount of time, I think that's fine. I think that's fine what we got from Matt Strom. 4.05 ERA in 10 starts. And remember, he was brought here to be a reliever. He was solid as a starter when he needed to fill in, especially at, like, you know, the beginning of the year. But he was brought here to be a relief pitcher. And, you know, just remember that. Like, he really was brought here to be a long man. I guess the term was a Swiss Army knife. And, you know, I think he did a decent job to fill in as a starter there, you know, at the beginning of the season. So yes. So I thought Strom, I mean, again, 282 ERA as a reliever. That was really good. So I think what we got from Matt Strom last year, I know he's like a weird guy. Like, he seems like a weird guy, so maybe it's hard for people to, like, love him here in Philadelphia. So maybe that goes into it. But, like, hey, ERA under 3 as a reliever, pretty good. pretty good. And for him to be the long man and for him to be in a few high leverage spots, I think he did a really good job for the Phils last year. I think he did a good overall job considering the circumstances. So, but looking ahead to 2024, I think we're expecting, I'm expecting the same thing from Matt Strom. Like, I want him to give us those same type of numbers. You know, just think of it in terms of he's going to start there. He's going to hopefully be in a full-time reliever role this year. I don't want him to, you know, have to, I mean, I'm fine with him, you know, filling in at certain parts or certain times of the season. I think that's not a terrible thing. But, you know, he's brought here to be the long man. Swiss Army knife, whatever. I want him. What I'm expecting from him in 2024, I want him to be, you know, the long man. It's a guy that few high leverage situations from time to time. And to, you know, fill in to start potentially if the starting pitcher gets hurt. But, like, that last part there about him filling in, you know, hopefully our guys can stay healthy for the most part this year. And honestly, last year, like, I think that's one thing with the starting pitching last year that we were relatively got lucky with was that, you know, most of the guys, you know, save for Ranger Suarez, were able to stay healthy last year. Unless I'm not, like, thinking about any. But yeah, Nola stayed healthy. Wheeler stayed healthy. Walker was healthy for most of the season. Christopher Sanchez, when he came in, was healthy. So, you know, Ranger had some issues there. But besides Ranger, everyone was pretty healthy. So, I think, you know, hopefully he can just be a reliever for, 60 to 70 innings this year. And maybe he'll give you, you know, what he gave you last year as a reliever. I mean, a 2.82 ERA, I'll take that all day. I will take that all day. 60, 70 innings pitch. Give me that, Matt Strom. So at the end of the day, those three things right there. He is number one. He is supposed to be a long man here. He's supposed to be one of your long men who can also give you some high leverage spots, you know, every now and then. So that's what I'm expecting from Matt Strom this season. And then again, to fill in, to start potentially if a starting pitcher gets hurt. So Matt Strom, we're expecting those three things this year, and hopefully he can give you the same type of numbers he gave you as a reliever in just under 50 innings this year, and maybe put that into a 60 to 70 inning season this year. And I think all of us would be happy with that this year. So that's Matt Strom. Let me know what you expect from him this season in 2024. Around Major League Baseball, a couple of things here, a couple of big things. Just a fun little thing, not super important, but at the same time, it is important because it's good for our game. Vladdy Guerrero Jr. on the cover of MLB The Show 2024. I think it was a good pick. I don't know. I mean, it's always a few guys we look at. Last year was Jazz Chisholm Jr. Year before, it was Shohei Ohtani. I think the year before was Harper. I think the 21 was Harper. Bryce Harper was on 2021 as a Philly. And the year before that was Javi Baez on 20. Or maybe, I lied. Wasn't Harp 19? I think he was 19. I could be wrong. I have stopped playing MLB The Show the last couple of years for what it's worth. So, but regardless, Vladdy Guerrero Jr. cover of MLB The Show 2024. The Angelos family, I think that's how you say it. It's Angelos, regardless. The family that owns the Orioles no longer owns the Orioles. They have sold the team to David Rubenstein's ownership group. And it includes a few names you might know. So a few that I don't know, but here's one. Michael Urugaretti, co-founder and CEO of Aris Management. Hall of Famer and Orioles legend Cal Ripken. You definitely know that name. Cal Ripken Jr. Mitchell Goldenstein and Michael Smith, co-heads of the Aris Credit Group. Former Baltimore Mayor Kurt Schmoke. NBA Hall of Famer Grant Hill. Former Dookie. Entrepreneur and philanthropist Mike Bloomberg. And then business leader Michelle Kang. And some other investors that haven't been named. So it's a good thing for the Orioles, I think, and for baseball fans, because we want to see a team like this, you know, thrive, especially a young team. That'd be good for baseball for them to thrive and to really you know, contend and whatnot. And you know, you had the whole thing with the with Kevin Brown, the broadcaster last season, where he you know, had said some things, and ownership had basically suspended him for BS. And yeah, they just haven't, they haven't, the ownership group previously has not been put in a great light the last you know, however many years. So I think a lot of baseball fans are happy about this move. Some other deals in Major League Baseball. Padres signed Wandy Peralta. I think it was a 4-year deal. Look, I wanted Wandy Peralta. I thought he would have been good for the Phils if they wanted to add some pitching depth, some depth to the bullpen. So Padres signed Wandy Peralta. Justin Turner, 1-year deal, $13 million with the Toronto Blue Jays. So he goes from Boston. He was a longtime Dodger. Goes to Boston last year, and then now is with the Toronto Blue Jays, which probably spells the end for Matt Chapman there in Toronto. Jorge Polanco. There was a trade within the last couple of days. Jorge Polanco. Seattle Mariners and Twins swing a 5-player trade Monday. Second baseman Jorge Polanco going to the Mariners for outfield prospect Gabriel Gonzalez, reliever Justin Topa, and starter Anthony DeSclafani. DeSclafani didn't even pitch in wherever, in Seattle at all. I mean, he was traded for, I think, Haniger, and then he goes right to the Twins now. So there you go. DeSclafani, and then minor league pitcher Darren Bowen. And the Mariners are also giving the Twins cash considerations. Both teams announced the deal on Monday night. So there you go. A little bit of this day in Phillies history before I get you guys out of here. Happened on this day in 1969. Phillies chose Terry Enyart in the first round of the amateur draft. Phillies transactions on this day. In 2007, they signed Brett Myers to a 3-year contract and covering his last 2 years of arbitration and first year of free agency. Born on this date, 1857, Pete Wood. 1917, Elmer Burkhart. 1934, Bob Conley. 1966, Darren Chapin. 1980, Hector Luna. Like that name. 1991, Darnell Sweeney. So happy birthday to any of those people that are still living. I don't know if Pete Wood's still alive, but that would be pretty crazy. That'd be like 150 years. Probably be the oldest person alive. But regardless, that's this day in Phillies history for Thursday, February 1st. So, again, 14 days until pitchers and catchers. 14 days. Cannot wait. I just cannot wait for spring training baseball. I can't wait. We've talked about this before. I can't wait. But it's actually been a little warmer here lately, so maybe it's a sign of things to come. I can't wait for spring training baseball and for the Phillies to get back. So that's going to do it for me, Francisco Rojas. Follow me on Twitter at @Rojas_media_, and I'll talk to you guys on Monday.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego bricks.
Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong, because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.